Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies.
By the way,
you want to join their team, be a five-star HVAC technician, you can go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
I know Mike is on hold. You know that when he had the guy that said he saw three or four Red Wolves at the Sligo Creek?
Yeah.
Apparently there are 17 that are known to be alive in the wild today.
In the world.
17!
And three of them. So like
three of them are here.
16 or 17% of their population is there.
Yeah.
That's
some
quick radio math by me.
Somehow he saw three of the 17 in the wild.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Mike Rizzo. He, of course, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Mikey.
How are you doing?
We're doing okay. I guess we should ask for your response on this Ken Rosenthal article. Said that you didn't want to comment, or maybe asked you for comment, whatever. But we had to talk about it earlier in the show. What's kind of your thought process in it?
Yeah, I think I got a summary of it from our PR people. Yeah, I mean, people, Ken and a lot of other journalists, and they ask for comments all the time about a bunch of stuff. I rarely make comments to the journalists, on a daily basis during the season. I've kind of told people I'm done talking about the Soto trade that was years ago, and you know, we've all moved on.
But you did great, by the way. You did great.
We did great, and you had to do great because you were dealing a great player that you drafted and signed and developed and that type of thing. So yeah. So that was the reason of that. I mean, that wasn't the first time I didn't respond back to Ken. It won't be the last because I rarely respond back to the journalist asking for those type of comments. You know, today I'm immersed into today's game and how we beat the Mariners and that type of thing. I don't need to be discussing a trade that we made, you know, 3-4 years ago. So that's what that was about. And to comment on the article, like I said, I got a summation from our PR people. I didn't read the whole thing, but yeah, there's some validity to some things that he said there. I think that it was odd timing because we've won 7 out of our last 11. I think we played pretty well. We swept, the Orioles, and we took a 2-game series against the Braves, and now we got this tough West Coast trip, which going out to Seattle. And the West Coast is never easy. So, we'll be grinding away. We've been grinding all year. I'm proud of the way the effort that they put in from the players and the coaching staff and that type of thing. You see some young players, baptism by fire when you're throwing Hassel and Dalen Lyle against Robbie Ray, Cy Young contender. That's no picnic. But I think that you're going to see the development of these guys come and that type of thing. These guys are developing at the big league level. We've been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years. We've developed players that have won division titles and world championships and that type of thing. So I think that some of those comments were, some of those statistics were kind of cherry picked and that type of thing. But we're proud of our scouting and our player development guys. We draft guys that we think are going to help us in the big leagues, and help us in the big leagues means play for us or trade away to get other players that'll help us win. When you look back at our really good teams, the 2019 team, for example, Adam Eaton was a big part of us of winning that World Series. It took three good drafted and developed players from us to acquire an Adam Eaton to help us win the World Series. And Gomes and Doolittle and Hudson and Gio Gonzalez and all these guys came from players that were drafted and developed by the Nationals. They didn't play for the Nationals in the big leagues and didn't help us at the big league level, but the players we acquired for them did. And I think that that is a terrific way to show value in the draft, and we've been doing that for years. And either the players that we draft to play for us, or we trade them away and package them up and get a player that's going to play for us. So I guess you could pick certain draft choices and picks and that type of thing over the last years, and you could find some faults there. But when I look at we've run some of the great players in the game through our system. We've drafted some of the great players ever. We've drafted guys low in the draft that have won Cy Youngs and that type of thing. So I just thought the timing of the article was odd, because we were playing good, and we really are seeing the fruits of this frustrating rebuild coming to fruition. But I'm still optimistic. The needle of this team and this organization is pointed north, and it's going to continue to do so until we start winning championships, which I think is in the very near future.
How much has the injuries like to Cavalli and JoJo Gray, how much has that set us back a little bit on the timeline? And then they seem to be close, right? We're getting closer to those guys coming back.
Cavalli's close. JoJo is going to be towards the end of this season. You know, it's a 12 to 14 month process. But Cavalli's healthy, and when he figures it out, he's kind of going through a spring training phase here with touch and feel and command and that type of stuff. But his health is good. You know, he's going to be ready for us. JoJo's going to be at the end of the season, so 12 to 14 months after he got surgery last year. So yeah, it sets you back. But that's not unique to the Washington Nationals. Everyone's got injuries. Got to play through it. It's not an excuse. You have to have depth.
Right.
I think you see the depth. We've developed Gore at the big league level, Irvin, Parker, two of our homegrown draft choice guys. Cavalli is soon to be here, and then you got some of the beasts in the minor leagues, Socorro and Susanna and Clemmy and Bennett and Kent and Feliz, all the way from AAA down to low A. Those guys are the next pitchers in the pipeline that's going to positively affect us in the future.
Mike, when we talked about this at the top of the show, I defended you more than Ken Rosenthal did, certainly, but and he did, and you pointed out that some of this is valid, but you did make some like an overall change to your scouting department. So you obviously saw something, mm-hmm. or the lack of in the scouting department. So you made changes a couple of years ago. But also the problem I had with Rosenthal was I don't think he spent enough time blaming ownership for not spending the money. Because when you look at the bottom, let's say, six or seven payrolls in Major League Baseball, most of those teams, besides your Clevelands, and they've always been very good at kind of outplaying their payroll, Cleveland and Tampa, most of those teams are at the bottom of their divisions. The teams that spend money are at the top of their divisions, and that's a no-brainer. So I just think I had a problem with Rosenthal not spending more time blaming ownership, and I'm not sure where you can go on that.
I mean, ownership is shown that when they feel that we're ready to win, they spend, and I've never had a problem with that. Hopefully that continues, and I think that the day is coming that we're going to be in a position to win, and to show support. That means buying some free agents and that type of thing. But it's also we went for it in a different way back in the first rebuild, and let us not forget, we've done this before. Ken and the other journalists can point out the flaws of how we're doing this rebuild. It's taking too long and that type of thing. But the one thing they can point to us and not point to hardly any other teams around is we've rebuilt from the bottom up when MLB owned this thing to winning a championship. And we did it in 13 years, mm-hmm. from start to a championship. And we're, unfortunately had to rebuild again, and we're rebuilding now. It's taken, it's since the Soto trade, it's been 2-3 years of a rebuild, which is painful, and we all know that. But if Ken or anybody else can't see where this organization is as far as talent base and that type of thing, then I don't know what to tell anybody. That's the fans see it, the players see it, the opposition team sees it and they see the talent and that type of thing. And, I've been in this game long enough. I've got friends all over the league. And, you know, when we come out of Atlanta and Atlanta comes from here, I'm talking to Walt Weiss and Snit and those guys and saying, and they're telling us, how tough we are to play and the level of talent that we have. So they see it. So we can't get too concerned about what people write about you and that type of thing. I rarely read it when we're winning championships. I rarely read it when we're not. And I think you have to have the spirit and the toughness to figure out the blueprint, abide by the blueprint, don't vary from the blueprint. And at the end of the day, you see where that blueprint takes you, and hopefully it'll take us to another cycle of championship caliber teams that DC can be proud of.
Mike, he quoted some.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. I know that.
Mike, he
quoted the team the way they play.
Mike, he quoted you from an interview you did on our show a few years ago where you didn't want to use the word rebuild. You called it a reboot. Today, you've been using the word rebuild. It's fine. I want to move on. Let's get into a specific prospect that I know a lot of people are intrigued by, Elijah Green, who you drafted fifth overall a couple of years ago. What's his progress look like?
Elijah is one of the most tooled up, skillful players that we have in the organization. Struggled woefully with contact from the time we drafted him till today. And what we've done with him is because he has such a great skill set, is he's one of the best defenders we have in the whole system, one of the fastest players that we have in the whole system, one of the best throwing arms we have in this system, and he's got some of the most prodigious power that we have in the system. We need to get the hit tool under wraps, and we need more contact. So what we did, we took him out of Wilmington and brought him down to Florida, and we're breaking down his swing and his approach, and we're going to do some swing changes and approach changes. We've got our best baseball people down there, our best hitting guys down there, the hitting coordinator, and some other guys that are really affluent on teaching hitting and knowing hitting and knowing the kind of situation that Elijah's in. Because when this light bulb goes on, again, he's 21 years old. He'd be coming out of, he'd be a draft eligible junior right now if we didn't take him out of high school. So there's time with this guy, and with his skill set, you've got to give this guy as much time as possible for him to figure it out. So down there, we're doing some swing changes and get him back into competition when the swing changes take hold, which is an arduous process. That's muscle memory. You guys have all hit balls off on the practice range and hit them well, and then you go into competition and things speed up, and you resort back to your old bad habits. So that's what we're trying to get out of Greeny. He came down with a wonderful attitude with the coaches down there really are doing a great job with getting a new approach and a new hitting format and swing changes, and we're going to do everything we can to get this guy right, because when the light bulb goes off, he could be special. So that's what we're doing with him.
Mike, I just saw a highlight of him where he hits the ball to the shortstop what looked like a routine out. And he beat it out by about three steps. He's lightning fast, isn't he?
He's probably he's as fast or the fastest guy we've got in the system. And like I said before, he throws the best. He's got the best throwing arm. And when it comes to power, he can hit it as far as anybody. But you can't live with 48% strikeout rates in A-ball, and we know that. We addressed it. We allowed him to do it his way with some tweaks for a period of time. But with desperate times lead to desperate measures, and we got our heads together and we put all of our best hitting guys down there and guys that have been in his situation. A first-round high school draft draft that has high expectations and really struggled his first couple years in the minor leagues, and then ended up being a really good major league player playing 15 years in the big leagues. He's down there helping him figure out the mental, physical, mechanical aspects of the swing, and we've got our hitting coordinators down there, and the kid's putting in a lot of time and effort into his game, and he's he's a terrific kid, and we're certainly I'm very bullish on him, because like I said, I've seen light bulbs go off later in players' development, and this kid's just scratching the surface at 21 years old with his skill set. If he was coming out of the draft right now, he'd be a pretty high draft, I would think.
Can you just give one example of a guy that like kind of took a year or two and then the light bulb went on and he took off? Doesn't have to be a superstar, but he just really figured
it out. How about Jason Wirth? A catcher out of Springfield High School in Illinois.
Yeah.
High expectations, came out, struggled his butt off mightily, and went through the highs and lows, and ended up playing 15 years in the big leagues. He understands the mechanical, the mental, the physical, the swing part of hitting, and can relate to a player of this guy's ilk. Also, Jason knew Elijah Green very, very well from Elijah's high school days, because Jason's son was on the same team, and Jason lives down there, and so we thought he was the perfect guy to go down and help put this guy in. Put this guy in a good position to get back on track.
All right, Mike, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. That's Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it. Of course, Mike, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, talk some NBA playoffs. Our pal Antonio Daniels, former Wizard, longtime NBA vet, now an analyst who covers hoops for the Pelicans and Sirius XM NBA host. That's next here on The Junkie. Welcome back. Junkie's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Going to talk a little hoops now. Joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Antonio Daniels, former Wizard, longtime NBA vet. Now he's a color analyst for the Pelicans. You can also hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. What's up, Antonio?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't punch him on. I'm sorry. Working on my phone. Antonio, you there, buddy?
Yes. How y'all doing today?
Hey, we're doing well. Before we talk playoffs, did a little part of your heart hurt when you saw the Wizards tumble in the draft lottery all the way down to number 6? I mean, it hurt a lot of Wizards fans when they were expecting, hopefully, to get Cooper Flagg and get lucky and pick number 1, and just wasn't to be.
Well, here's the thing. If you think my heart hurt watching the Wizards tumble down to number 6, how do you think I felt when I saw the Pelicans fall to number 7?
Yeah, probably hurt too, yeah, I would think.
Yeah. It was, it is what it is. It is what it is. And, on the Sirius XM show, we had a million people calling in and talking about, the NBA lottery was the R word, which is not. They traded Luka, so now this is what the NBA's doing to give them. Like, stop it, man. Stop it. More power to the Dallas Mavericks. I'm happy for them to get an opportunity to acquire a talent like Cooper Flagg and put him next to Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving and so on and so forth. But life goes on. But I will say this. Outside of this year, what is there when you go back and look at the history of the draft that says that the only generational player that you can get is a number 1 overall pick? Because if I ask you who are the top 5 players in the NBA today, would any of them be the number 1 overall pick?
Not Jokic, not Shea, not Luka. Nope. You can keep going down the list. You are correct.
Not SGA.
So that's the thing. You can go down. Not Giannis. You can go down the list. You can get generational talents outside of number 1. So I can grasp the concept of people, saying, you missed on the number 1 overall pick. But it doesn't mean just because you didn't get the number one overall pick that there still aren't generational talents out there to be had.
Antonio, take me back to when you were drafted. Now, there was a number one pick in Tim Duncan, who was a generational talent. But Tracy McGrady was drafted ninth. Did you know you were going to go to Vancouver? Kind of just take me through your draft.
Well, I knew I was going to Vancouver, you know, at, like, closer to the draft. But even during my workouts, I didn't work out for any team outside of the top 10 that didn't need a point guard. So everybody I worked out for at that particular time was in the top 10. So I knew I was going top 10, but when it got closer to the draft, then I knew I was going top 5. It's a cool process. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is a cool process. It's something that it's a process I'll never forget. It's some crazy memories around that time. Crazy memories. I'll never forget when I got drafted by Vancouver, the next day flying to Vancouver to do my media obligations, getting off the plane, getting picked up at the airport to go do my physical. And on the way to go do my physical, we hit a guy on a bike.
Oh.
And I thought we killed him.
Oh,
on my way to do my physical. Like, I was literally in Vancouver for 15 minutes and I called my mom and I said, "Mom, I think we just killed a man." That kind of should have let me know that was not going to be the right place for me.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that was an omen
for
you.
Well, look, like, 2 years later, you're playing for San Antonio and you win an NBA championship, right?
Correct. Yep. I went from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league in a matter of 365 days.
Very nice. So, Antonio,
God's plan is crazy.
Antonio, you were talking about, you know, generational guys being found outside of the top pick, maybe even outside of the top five. One of those guys appears to be Tyrese Haliburton. Talk about how amazing and clutch he's been, and how much do you think the Kings regret back in 2022 trading him to the Pacers? I mean, that's a Kings team that would certainly look different if they still had Tyrese Haliburton in the mix.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that. Like, when we talk about trades, hindsight's always 20/20. Mm-hmm. There's no saying that if Tyrese Haliburton was in Sacramento that he would still be this same version of himself, because you're talking about a different coach with a different system with different teammates. You know what I mean? Like, we see this all the time. I watched Josh Giddey, who was a part of the Oklahoma City Thunder 2 years ago, get traded to Chicago last summer. And I keep hearing OKC Thunder fans, when Josh Giddey was having a great year in Chicago, saying, "Oh, why can't he do that here?" Because he wouldn't have had that same responsibility. You know what I mean? So sometimes it takes a change of scenery for guys to become the best version of themselves. I will say this. That was a trade, honestly, that worked out for both sides.
Yeah, they got Sabonis.
Right. Sabonis, he was an all-star. You know, he took them, help get them to the playoffs for the first time in forever. And now we can look back at it and say, well, you know what, Tyrese Haliburton, fill in the blank. But remember, De'Aaron Fox was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drafted Davion Mitchell. So they drafted other point guards at the time. So I understand the thought process. And again, when you look back on certain trades, hindsight's always 20/20. But Tyrese Haliburton is special. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's safe to say. And again, a lot of this league is about getting with the right coach at the right time, with the right system, with the right teammates around you. And Rick Carlisle and that Indiana Pacers up and down system is perfect for Tyrese Haliburton. So it's one of those situations in Indiana where the stars aligned at the right time.
Antonio, I want to go back. Before these playoffs started, who did you have in the NBA Finals?
I had Boston, and then I had a question mark on the Western Conference side.
Mm-hmm.
I had Boston winning the whole thing but we have to make our predictions during like right when the regular season ends.
Sure.
So we can't like make them, you know, a game or two into the playoffs. I'll tell you guys what I didn't know. What I didn't know at the time of making our predictions was that there was going to be such a drastic difference between the game in the regular season and the game in the postseason. The game in the postseason, it resembles the 80s.
Yeah, it's very physical.
It really does. Yeah, it's extremely physical. Like, I have not seen this type of difference between the regular season and the postseason, probably throughout the course of my time playing or covering the NBA. I've never seen anything like it. So if I could go back and say, all right, well, what they're going to do in the postseason is eliminate the free-flowing game, right, where guys are getting up and down, and they're going to allow physicality. They're going to allow touching. They're going to allow guys to blow up screens. You know, they're going to allow us to turn the clock back to the 80s and early 90s. That may have changed my prediction because, again, we don't know how certain teams are going to respond to physicality. But if you go back then, Cleveland Cavaliers, who were first in the East, the Boston Celtics, who were second in the East, we saw how they responded to the physical nature of the postseason, and it wasn't well.
Hmm. What is it about Rick Carlisle? Why is Rick Carlisle, he's won a championship before with Dallas. Why is he such a good head coach?
I think it's a number of reasons. For Greg Popovich, I call him the greatest coach of all time. What I've always loved about Pop is he doesn't just coach one way, right? He can cater his offense to the skill set of the players that the roster is constructed with. And a lot of coaches can't do that. A lot of coaches cannot do that. I have all the respect in the world for Phil Jackson. But when Phil Jackson coached with the Chicago Bulls and they ran a triangle offense, with Michael and Scottie and Rodman and Kerr, it looked great. When he was with Kobe and Shaq and Derek Fisher and those guys, it looked great. But remember he went to New York and tried the same thing? It didn't look so well. What I love about Greg Popovich and the same thing I love about Rick Carlisle is his ability to cater his offense to the skill set of his players. That's not easy. Because you remember when they won a championship way back in, when? Even when he had Luka, right? They weren't getting up and down like this. But you know what? He got Tyrese Halliburton. He got Pascal Siakam. He got Miles Turner. And he completely shifted the way that he coached in Dallas to the way that he coaches in Indiana. And for me, I love a coach that can adjust on the fly. Because you know what? I would love to coach that way, but my roster is not constructed to coach that way. That's what I've always loved about certain coaches in this league, mainly Greg Popovich. And you can throw Rick Carlisle, one of the greatest coaches in the history of sport, in that same conversation.
Talking to Antonio Daniels, former Wizard, longtime NBA vet. Now he's a color analyst for the Pelicans, and you can hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio. All right, so both series are 3-1. Pacers up 3-1 on the Knicks. Thunder up 3-1 in their series against the T-Wolves. Two-part question. To give either of the teams that are trailing 3-1 a shot.
No.
And okay, so then we skip past that. Yeah. So how do you forecast NBA Finals?
And I have, you know, been sleeping on the Indiana Pacers for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still sleeping on them because I can't see a team beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. They check all the boxes.
Well, Denver every almost box did.
But it almost only counts in grenades and horseshoes. You know, like... And that basically lets you know how great Nikola Jokic is.
Yeah.
The fact that Denver actually took them to seven games, and if Aaron Gordon is healthy, maybe they have an opportunity to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the OKC Thunder, they check every box. Toughness, great point of attack defenders, best defensive team in the league, size, skill, excellent one-on-one players. They have a certified Batman, a certified Robin. They can play big. They can play small. Defensive versatility. They check all of the boxes. They had an area last year where that needed to be addressed. When they lost to the Dallas Mavericks last year, Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively killed them on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Killed them on the glass. So you know what they did? They went out and got Isaiah Hartenstein. They went out and got tougher by adding Alex Caruso. All the boxes that needs to be checked. The Oklahoma City Thunder checked them. I cannot see a team beating the OKC Thunder. I can't. And even now, I keep getting asked, you know, okay, if we think it's going to be the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder. Who do you have and in how many games? And I got OKC in five.
Wow.
Pretty right. Strong.
I'll remember that when I go to my betting site.
There you go. Make it pay off.
Thank you, Antonio. Appreciate it.
For sure. Anytime, fellas.
All right, bro.
All right, buddy.
Love the passion from Antonio
Daniels. He's great. Yeah. But real quick, and he was talking about the Pacers, and we're talking about the draft in general. You can get great players outside of the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers' top three players are obviously Halliburton, who was drafted
12. Yep.
Siakam, who was drafted, we talked about 27. And Miles Turner, who's their center, No, he's not a superstar, but he's pretty damn good. I think he was drafted maybe 11 or 12. So their top three picks were drafted way outside, you know, the top five.
Hence why I'm anti-tanking.
Yeah.
It's nice, though, to get the number one pick.
It's great.
Give you,
well, when there's a Cooper Flag available.
Yeah. Or you could get a Kwame Brown.
Yep. Coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday. Your chance to win a $100 gift card to Metropolitan Hospitality Group and their restaurants. And we also have tickets to go see Post Malone at Northwest Stadium. So Game Show Wednesday next. You can call in now to compete for great prizes at 1-800-636-1067.
All right. For all of your residential, commercial, cooling, heating, plumbing, and pest control needs this season, do what I always do. Trust the five-star experts at Crop Metcalf. You know, another scorching Washington summer is right around the corner with temperatures warming up. Make sure your cooling system can keep up. Like the hoopty one in here. Call Crop Metcalf today. Schedule your $99 cooling system check and ensure your family's comfort all season long. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician.
Welcome back on a Game Show Wednesday, Bish Bucks.
That's right, Game Show Wednesday, always brought to you by our good friends at Open Road Distilling Company. You can raise your standards because the bottles from Open Road Distilling are now available at Virginia ABC stores.
Awesome.
Exclusively in Northern Virginia, you can get the bold spice of Eagle Eye Rye, the smooth depth of Independence Bourbon, or the rich, ready-to-pour Maple Old Fashioned. This is whiskey done right. And for the full experience, head on over to Reston Town Center. That's where Open Road Distilling is. You can go there, have lunch, order some drinks, and then head into the distilling and grab yourself some bottles, but you can grab them also at the.
Almost played a different game there for a second.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't play that game on the radio.
That's Valdez's special game. Yeah.
All right. Here's the deal. I have salaries of different players, local athletes.
Getting in their pockets.
They will bid higher or lower. When they get it, we stop the clock. They have to figure out 2 in 30 seconds.
Okay. All right.
All right. Hold on. Let me get 30 seconds up.
I also have a timer here, just in case. But let's punch up our first contestant. Who wants to play the clock game on a Game Show Wednesday?
All right. Let's go to Tobias in D.C. Hey, Tobias.
Hey, what's up, Jeff?
What's up?
How are you?
Toby. Does anybody call you Toby, or is it always Tobias?
It's always Tobias.
All right.
He likes the formal name.
All right, good.
Is Toby Altheiser here? Is his name Tobias?
Don't know. I'm going to say he's just a Toby.
He's
probably a Tobias.
All right, so do you understand the game? You got 30 seconds on the clock. I'm going to give you a name of a local athlete. You need to guess their salary in the millions, okay? I've rounded them up or rounded them down, and we'll stop the clock when you nail it, but I will go higher or lower based on what you guess. You understand?
Okay.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock. I'll give you a second before Valdez starts it. Your player is Chris Middleton from the Wizards. Go. Did you guess?
3 million.
Higher.
5 million.
Higher.
Way higher.
11 million.
Higher.
Way higher.
22 million.
Higher.
31 million.
Nailed it.
All right, how many seconds do you have left?
I think that was...
I think there's 6 seconds left.
Yeah,
he's got 6 seconds left. You better be on your A game, my man.
All right, you got 6 seconds left to nail this.
This is a hard game.
All right, this is Cakes' favorite.
It's especially hard when you start at 2 million NBA star.
This is Cakes' favorite player, Bilal Coulibaly. Mm.
3 million.
Higher.
5 million.
Higher.
6 million.
Oh, sorry, bro.
Fell just short. I'm gonna say Bilal is like 7.8 million.
I would have guessed 6.
He's so at eight. I rounded it to 7 million.
Okay, so close.
7 million. He was close.
He was Tobias. So close.
He was close. I don't think he was really following though with Chris. But he bets 2 million.
Yeah. Middleton. What's he? 35 million.
31.
$31 million.
Let's punch up another contestant.
All right, let's go to...
I think he worries about money.
Antoine. Worries,
probably not.
Worries Capital about monthly Heights. Bills.
By the way, Antoine, you can also, if you've ever watched The Price is Right, right? When you start narrowing it down, then go $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million, right? If you get in the ballpark.
Good.
All right, just trying to help you out.
All right, good luck to you, sir.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You want to go Wizards or Commanders?
Command.
All right. We'll start the clock after I give you the name. Bobby Wagner.
$15 million.
Higher. He said $6 million, right?
No, he said $15 million.
Oh, lower than 15.
11 million.
Lower.
$8 million.
Higher.
$9 million.
Yes.
$10 million.
Nine.
Yeah, nine.
All right, how much time does he have left? Probably 12 seconds.
Yeah, like 12 seconds.
All right, 12 seconds.
How many does he have to get total?
He's just got to get this one.
Oh, just this one.
All right, you ready? Jaden Daniels.
$17 million.
Lower.
$14 million.
Lower.
$10 million.
Lower.
$8 million.
Higher.
Tragic.
$9 million.
It's a travesty of mockery what's happening here.
Is the game fair?
I think it's fair.
All right, we'll try another contestant.
Let me stress this to the contestants. You got to move quick. You got to have some pace. You got to 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, there was a lot of processing there.
2 or 3 seconds between guesses is not great. You got to be on your game here, my friends. Mm. Time right, is of the essence.
Let's go to Adam in Falls Church. Hey, Adam.
Morning, boys.
All right, Adam. Clock game. We're going to go with Commanders. We'll start with EB's favorite player, Marshawn Lattimore.
$2 million.
Higher. What do you say? Well, hold on. Pause for a second. I didn't understand what he said. His phone stinks.
He said $2 million, I thought.
$2 million?
I thought. Is that what you said?
What did you say?
$2 million. $22 million.
Oh, 22
million.
Okay, 22 lower.
$17 million.
Higher.
$18 million.
Yes.
$19 million.
Nice job.
He's in 18. On $18 million. Well done.
All right. I don't know how many seconds was
he. I'm going to say he's got
15.
18 seconds left.
18.
All right.
18.
Yeah, no, you nailed it.
Okay. All right, your next player, Terry McLaurin.
$17 million.
Higher.
$20 million.
Higher.
$24 million.
Higher.
$30 million.
Lower.
$29 million. $28 million. $27 million. $26.5.
Yes, you got it.
Nailed 25. It. Well 25. Done.
Well, he's actually between 25 and 26. I would take either.
All right, you've got a $100 gift card from Metropolitan Hospitality Group. MHG restaurants include Circa, Trio Grill, Salt, El Baby, and Open Road. More information at thefandc.com/contests.
Congratulations. Congrats. By the way, cakes would be excellent in that game. You know what? You should sign up to play The Price is Right someday.
You get me in the mix, man.
Don't they come to MGM?
They do, yes, that's true. I might have to
MGM National Harbor.
Next time they're in town, I may have to go.
All right, let's clear the lines, and we'll hook up caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 with the tickets to go see Post Malone. You'll get two tickets. It's Post Malone with Jelly Roll, the big-ass stadium tour.
Nice.
That's coming up Monday, June 2nd at Northwest Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Somebody tweeted us, Jason Bishop, that they went to the Metallica show and there wasn't an encore Enter Sandman, but Cakes is going tonight. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan. Boo.